This is Radio Superior 1943, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1943. This is a true story of our past, so step back with us to another time and hear this recreation of radio as it may have sounded in 1943. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is Station KUWS broadcasting from studios in Superior, Wisconsin, from the land of beautiful lakes. It's 6 o'clock standard wartime, Friday, March 5th, 1943. This is Jack McKenna speaking, and newsman Lou Martin is standing by with the news, including the Wireless World Roundup. Lou will also talk to a veteran of the Guadalcanal Victory Home on leave in Superior. Now here's Lou Martin with the 6 o'clock news, brought to you by City Market, where proprietor Henry Cohen has restocked his shelves so it is arranged according to ration points and price. Boy, it's gotten cold after that big February thaw, eh, Lou?
Well, indeed, Jack. 20 below zero, one of the worst cold spells ever in northern Wisconsin in March.
And near blizzard conditions tonight. A week ago, it was in the 40s. How about that?
We do have news of German advances in North Africa, hard fighting by the Red Army, and a great victory in the South Pacific. It is in that fighting off the coast of New Guinea that Wisconsin's outstanding war ace Richard Bong bagged his sixth Japanese fighter plane. The farm boy from Poplar, which is just southeast of Superior, shot down a Zero over the Huon Gulf in action on Tuesday. He was flying a Lockheed Lightning P-38. Lieutenant Richard Bong is the oldest son of Carl and Dora Bong of Poplar. Tuesday and Wednesday saw a great victory for the Allies in the South Pacific. Daryl Berrigan begins our World Wireless Roundup from the battlefront in New Guinea.
New Guinea calling. Allied operations in New Guinea here. Daryl Berrigan reporting. The Bismarck Sea is a graveyard for a large enemy fleet. An entire convoy of 22 Japanese ships, including 10 cruisers or destroyers, have been virtually annihilated in the Bismarck Sea. 15,000 Nipponese warriors bound for the battlefields of New Guinea were wiped out almost to a man by the gallant Allied airmen, according to a special communique. The daring plane versus ship two-day aerial battle completely stopped Japanese efforts to reinforce bases in Salamua, Lai, and Modong, substantially easing the invasion threat to Australia. Allied Commander General Douglas MacArthur called the victory a major disaster to the enemy, adding that merciful providence must have guided us in this great victory. The action was executed brilliantly under severe weather conditions. The convoy left from Rabaul in the northern Solomon Islands and was attacked from the Bismarck Archipelago to the Huon Gulf. I listened to the radio conversations in a large tent among members of the Flying Fortress formation. The tent was crowded around a loudspeaker with other soldiers as if they were listening to the American World Series. The loudspeaker croaked, got a direct hit on that one, blew it right up. If we're not intercepted, we'll make individual runs and get those blank zeros. Zeros at 9 o'clock, zeros at 3 o'clock. With another one down, two to go. It's just like you see in the movies. Another one at 10 o'clock. Let's get out of there. There's too many. This amazing victory was achieved at a cost of only three Allied fighter planes and one bomber, while 55 Jap Zeros protecting the Armada were shot down or damaged. 33 were listed as destroyed and 22 as probable. Somewhere in New Guinea, this is Daryl Berrigan reporting, calling Soviet Russia, calling Moscow. Come in, Eddie Gilmore.
This is Moscow. Eddie Gilmore here. The Reds are menacing more German strong points in their steady push westward to regain territory held by Nazi troops since late 1941. After recapturing the fortress city of Zev, the Red Army has liberated scores of towns and villages southwest of there, clearing a 275-mile railway path supplying Moscow. Coupled with advances in the northwest, the Russians threaten German positions at Orel, Kharkov, and Smolensk. This is Moscow calling North Africa, calling Harold Boyle, Allied Headquarters, North Africa.
This is occupied North Africa, Harold D. Boyle speaking. Immune Axis attacks in northern Tunisia forced Allied positions back 4 miles on Tuesday, but today most of that ground has been reclaimed in bitter fighting, some of it hand-to-hand. German General Jürgen von Arnim's infantry and armored units were forced back after taking several severe losses, according to an Allied communique. This fierce action in the north was accompanied by intensified activity by German General Erwin Rommel's forces along the Mareth line on the southern front. Allied forces are consolidating in the central area of Tunisia, reclaiming almost all of the territory lost from Rommel's February offensive. It is believed if the Allies can break the natural defenses of the Mareth line, that Rommel's ill-supported forces would finally be forced to capitulate or leave North Africa completely. This is Harold B. Boyle, United Press Foreign Service, with the fighting Allied troops in North Africa.
These bulletins just in from London. An air raid shelter disaster has taken the lives of 118 adults and 60 children during a German air raid. They were either crushed or suffocated. Apparently, a woman and a child fell in a stairway crowded with people, and the throngs pushed up and fell over each other. Many people died standing up. King George VI ordered an inquiry. Also from London, U.S. flying fortresses bombed docks and warehouses in Rotterdam and freight yards in the German city of Ham. They did that today, following an RAF bombing raid last night on Hamburg. Five of the heavy bombers did not return. City Market News Time is 6:06 Standard Wartime. Jack McKenna has a word from our sponsor.
And it's a very special word today, in more ways than one. To make it easier for you, we have rearranged our stock and marked each and every article for the amount of points and price it costs. Just a couple of examples, and Campbell's tomato soup, for example, costs 6 points and 8 cents a can. Heinz baby food, 1 point and 8 cents per can. And beer, if you like beer, well, Northern or Ham's case of beer, $1.95, 24 points. How about that? Little costly to drink beer. But that's City Market with all these specials for you right now. Charge accounts are welcome, and we deliver. If you want to order, just dial 4453. And that's City Market in Superior. Lou?
A Superior man has been killed in action in the Southwest Pacific Theater of War. Private John O'Brien's father, Henry O'Brien, and his sister, Helen, were notified last night that the man had died from drowning last Saturday. No other information was given. Private O'Brien graduated from East High School and attended Teachers College before going to the University of Minnesota for 2 years. He was drafted into the service last June, hoping for duty in the Pacific. He was sent to Australia in August. His last letter home was December the 17th, when he spoke of wonderfully interesting people and places in Australia. Private John O'Brien was 38 years old. A Superior man in the Merchant Marines is listed as missing. Mr. and Mrs. H.E. Reynolds of Superior were notified by the U.S. Coast Guard that their son, Hayes Reynolds, is missing and presumed lost. Mr. Reynolds joined the Merchant Marines last August as an oiler after sailing for 8 years on the Great Lakes. The notification says that Hayes Reynolds was lost in the performance of his duty and in the service of his country. An effort to pass a 60% income surtax on Wisconsin taxpayers suffered a defeat today. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has the latest.
This 60% income surtax favored by Governor Walter Goodlin is probably going down to defeat. After Governor Goodlin put the tax on the books, the Assembly and Senate both passed bills repealing the surtax. Governor Goodlin then vetoed the repeal, and today the Senate overrode the veto. So what you have here is the overriding of the veto of the repeal. Well, Republican Senate floor leader Warren Knowles of New Richmond says taxpayers are already doing their part to help the war effort by buying war bonds, and this special war surtax is an undue burden.
The overriding of the veto of the repeal, well, that's an undue burden on the mind.
It's clear as mud. But it means no 60% surtax on incomes, Lou.
Well, thank you, Mike. Superior's last surviving member of the Civil War is ill, but apparently he's recovering. 104-year-old Colonel C.L. Hooker of the Grand Army of the Republic, Post 170, is ill and in the home of his son and daughter-in-law in Virginia, Minnesota. Word is that Colonel Hooker is up and around now.
104 years old? Wow, that's impressive. At age, you don't even buy green bananas.
We wish Colonel Hooker the best. And that, good listeners, is the news.
Everything except this blizzard we might be getting tonight, Lou. After three of the coldest days ever in March, with sub-zero temperatures reaching 20 below, we could get high winds and lots of snow tonight into tomorrow. And all of this after last week's thaw, when temperatures hit 50 in late February. The forecast for this March the 5th, 1943, is for storm conditions followed by another cold spell of sub-zero temperatures. Spring will come, folks, but don't put away the snow shovel. And now let's warm up with the fine big band music of Duke Ellington and Don't Get Around Much Anymore on the Martin and McKenna Show on Station KUWS. Hey, that certainly warmed you up, didn't it? The music of Duke Ellington and Don't Get Around Much Anymore on Station KUWS. You folks know we always run a clean show here on KUWS. Well, there's another outfit who might out-clean even us. Gamble Stores in Superior is that place. Look what they have on sale for all your spring cleaning needs. See? Spring? Gamble's is not only clean, but they're optimistic, too. For a box of Rinso, 2 for 43 cents, or get the large size for just 63 cents. Rinso works out the dirt. And get 3 cakes of Lifebuoy soap, 3 for only 20 cents. I suggest you get 6, Lou. Life Boy, a name you can trust. How about a box of Lux Flakes for just 10 cents? But don't stop there. Gamble's has Swan Soap, 3 for 18 cents, or Fairy Soap, 3 for 17 cents, all at Gamble's in Superior. Weather like this makes you want to just take a hot bath or cuddle up with a hot water bottle. Or your wife, whichever is warmer.
Remember, you said that our show is clean.
Certainly is. I'm just thinking of some people's toes, Lou. In weather like this, they can be like icicles. I had a girlfriend once in winter. Her toes were as cold as icebergs because she had big feet. There's some cuddle-up music, friends. This is Mary Jo Stafford and Long Ago and Far Away on the Martin and McKenna Show on Station KUWS. Music to avoid cold toes by. That's Long Ago and Far Away by Joe Stafford on Station KUWS.
We have a distinguished guest today, Jack. Corporal Glenn Keough of Superior is home on leave after 6 months of hard fighting at Guadalcanal. Good evening, sir.
I've been in one jungle or another since last July, Mr. Martin, sir. I have to tell you, I love this weather. I dreamed of this weather. You know what they say about hot weather?
Hey, remember, this is a clean show.
What do they say about weather in the South Pacific?
Well, you can only take off so much clothing, and you still don't get cool in the jungle. In winter weather, you just pile on the clothing until you're warm. Some of those natives didn't have much of a wardrobe, I'll tell you. You should have seen...
Hey, Corporal, what about Guadalcanal? That was one hard-fought victory.
Well, that's the only way to win in war. Anyone says anything different, I got a few leathernecks who'd have a few words that I can't use on this clean show you got here. You remember, it started last August 7th. We landed at 0700, a little island called Gabutu. Other Marines stormed Tulagi. Man, I tell you what, it was like the 4th of July. The battle wagons were blasting the shores while we hit the beach. That's where I got my first Jap, just 25 feet away. He was swimming for me. He had blood in his eyes, but I got him. Mostly we surprised the Nips. They were holed up in caves and tunnels, probably fixing a breakfast of rice. We made it into Rice Krispies. We didn't figure it would take 6 months to drive those beggars off the Guadalcanal. It was hard, hot, and we lost a lot of grunts over there.
That's on the other side of the world.
Well, the way I look at it, it was another world. Man, the pineapples, the bananas, papayas were something to see. No exaggeration. Some of them were as big as basketballs. Sweet and pink inside. But the snakes. Oh, I hate snakes. They grow them big on Gubutu and Tulagi. Boa constrictors, too. But they're good eating.
They're good eating? You gotta be pretty hungry to eat a snake.
You got that right. There were times we were pretty hungry. The natives were friendly, though. They looked a lot like our American Negroes. Short, stocky, big hair. They were all friendly except for the headhunters we heard about on one small island. They still practice cannibalism. I hope they had some Japs, too.
A clean show, Corporal Keogh.
Sorry, sir.
You're just telling part of the story. You were wounded and are at home because you need to recover.
Well, the wound was nothing. Just got a piece of shrapnel. And I got what every red-blooded mosquito-bitten Marine got. Malaria. That's common, Mr. Martin. Average temp there was 95. They say it gets up to 150 in those jungles. The bugs love it. That's why I'm glad I'm here. There is one thing I regret, though.
What's that?
I didn't find my brother, John. I thought I had a lead on him when I was in Australia, but then we got shipped out. Last we heard from John was March 28, 1942. That's a year ago. He was at Clark Field in the Philippines. He's been missing in action since.
The way the Marines and the Air Corps and the Navy work together in the Solomons, it might not be too long before we're back in the Philippines.
That helped keep me going. Well, guys, I got to get back home. Ma and Pa say they want to fatten up their skinny son.
Marine Corporal Glenn Keogh of Superior, we wish you and your brother John Godspeed.
You folks here at home have to remember us when you're at work or buying war bonds. You can make a difference for those of us on the front lines.
Yes, sir. What would you like to hear, Corporal Keogh?
I want something that swings, man. How about Glenn Miller? You got Moonlight Serenade?
Oh, if we got Moonlight Serenade and Glenn Miller, wow, what self-respecting radio station doesn't? For Corporal Glenn Keogh and all the victorious hard-fighting leathernecks on Station KUWS. for the Fightin' Keels, Glenn and John. That's Glenn Miller and his orchestra. His theme song, Moonlight Serenade, on the Martin and McKenna Show on station KUWS. And now let's just keep the good music rolling, good listeners. Here's the Four Vagabonds, and Coming In on a Wing and a Prayer, on the Martin and McKenna Show on station KUWS.
One of our planes was missing, 2 hours overdue. Yes, one of our planes was missing, with all its gallant crew. The radio sets were humming, they waited for the word. Then a voice broke through that humming, and this is what they heard. Coming in on the wing and a prayer. Coming in on a wing and a prayer. Though there's one motor gone, we can still carry on. Coming in on a wing and a prayer. What a show.
What a show.
What a fight.
What a fight.
Yes, we
really hit our target for tonight. Tonight.
How we'll sing as we limp through the air. Look below, there's a field over there. With our full crew aboard and our trust in the Lord. Coming in on the wing and a prayer.
Glory be.
Hallelujah.
Glory be.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. On a wing and a prayer.
What a show. What a fight. Yes, we really hit our target for tonight. How we'll sing as we limp through the air. Look below, there's a field over there. With our
full crew aboard
and our
trust in the Lord.
Coming in on a wing
and a prayer.
Inspirational music of the Four Vagabonds and Coming In on a Wing and a Prayer on station KUWS. Hey, Lou. Did you see the bronze skin on Corporal Keogh?
Considering that we're white as ghosts at this time of the year, he sticks out. Always in good color is our community editor, Harriet Farrick.
I have to say, Louis, your interview with Corporal Keogh was inspirational. With all that's happening, we need to hear stories from our men at the front. It helps us remember our duty here at home.
Oh. Well, thank you, Harriet.
Oh, shucks, you two.
Jack. The whole town is talking about the Walter Butler Shipyard's employees' play they put on at the Palace Theater Wednesday night. A packed house turned out for AB's Irish Rose, and the show had the audience in stitches. There were so many standout performances. Frank Abrams played Solomon Levy. Alice Jane Murphy was Mrs. Cohen. Dode McGill excelled as Patrick Murphy. And Pat Hanlon as Rabbi Samuels. They were just so funny. Since so many of the workers are male, the Walter Butler Shipyard's dancing girls just about brought the house down.
I saw that. They could have at least shaved their legs.
And maybe not kicked their legs so high.
Their tattoos were showing.
All were very graceful and rhythmic, especially the lead girl, Victor, or should I say, Victoria Olson.
I saw that. I had a nightmare of Vic Olson in his grass skirt and his knobby knees.
It was a fantastic evening. The Butler 35-piece band played along with Sonny Rosberg's orchestra. It was 3 hours of fun and frolic, ending appropriately enough with God Bless America and the Star-Spangled Banner. They were so good that they're getting offers from Duluth and the Iron Range to perform there.
The chorus line better watch out. They might surprise some of the miners on the range. It's not good to startle those guys.
I have one more item, boys. Congratulations to Greer Garson, winner of the Best Actress Oscar. Her movie, Mrs. Miniver, was the most awarded movie of 1942 at this year's Oscar ceremony at Hollywood's Coconut Grove. Best Actor went to James Cagney in Yankee Doodle Dandy. I understand that the gold statuette this year is only plastic and painted gold because of the war. It's fitting such an inspirational movie, Mrs. Miniver, would win. That's all I have, Jack and Lewis.
We'll say congratulations to Greer Garson, and goodbye to you for tonight. But we'll be back, same time, same place on your radio dial, that's a warning. The good Lord willing, and we're not replaced by shipyard workers wearing dresses. For Lou Martin, then, this is Jack McKenna, reminding you to write a letter to servicemen. Good night.
You have been listening to Radio Superior 1943, a weekly production presented by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Farrig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Foreign correspondent Daryl Berrigan is played by Paul Guggenheimer. Other performances by Joel Anderson. All events reported on Radio Superior 1943 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior 1943. This is your announcer, Tony Jasmine, speaking. Good night.
We have news about three of the servicemen in tonight's broadcast. Corporal Glenn Keogh, the Marine who was on leave in Superior after serving at Guadalcanal, survived the war. Eventually, Corporal Keogh passed away in California in 1962. His brother, Specialist John Keogh, who was listed as missing in action in the Philippines, did not survive the war. He died as a prisoner of war January the 25th, 1943, and is buried at Calvary Cemetery in Superior.
We were not able to find out information about Hayes Reynolds of Superior, who also was listed as missing in action. This information comes to us courtesy of the Douglas County Veterans Office. Good night.